Yes, it's like, okay. He missed my part that I was going to have. But it's all good. It's all good. John chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 36 to verse 40. But I said unto you, these are the words of Christ, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The title is All the Father Gives Me. And here is the introduction. God is not fair. That's it. That's the whole introduction. Because in verse 36, he starts off saying, But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Paul read the same thing when he was reading in further on in the chapter. But here he's already said it. Jesus, the Christ, always knew exactly who he was speaking to. A man, that is a killer advantage. I don't always know who I'm speaking to. I don't know whether somebody's elect or not. Reprobate. I don't know whether someone has been called or is still possibly elect and dead in trespasses and sins. I have no way of knowing. But I'm called upon to preach the gospel. That's all we got. I don't know who I'm talking to. Walter doesn't know who he's talking to. You don't know who you're talking to. But Jesus did. And the beautiful thing about this is Jesus told them. The man always spoke the truth. Because this man is God. So what did he tell him? He said, you've seen me. And what? Ye believe not. Now what is he saying here? What's the deeper meaning? Well, ye've also seen me. And ye believe not. That's the deeper meaning of this scripture. They did not believe. And I still find this hard to grasp. But when God spoke to them personally, they didn't believe him. How is that possible? Well, we are that dead in trespasses and in sins. We are that depraved. Our senses, Earl used to say, are so dulled as to be non-existent. Our will is so corrupt we can't choose. Our minds are so corrupt we can't believe. Our heart is so messed up we can't understand, even when God himself is speaking to these men. And they think we overemphasize depravity. This is important. He's speaking to those that don't believe him. Because this will affect what the Lord of glory says. Most people don't believe this, but Jesus Christ spoke differently to some people than he did to others. Now, he always spoke the exact truth to each and every person. But to some, more has been revealed. I pulled it out of Luke 8 and 10. He says, And these are the words of Christ. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. See, my introduction was, God's not fair. That's what men think. When you preach this gospel, when you talk about this Christ, who revealed himself to some and didn't reveal himself to others, that's not fair. That's what they say. And that's what they mean. And they're still wrong both ways. Christ spoke differently. It's not fair by man's standards. It's right by God's standards. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh, yes. He has, he will, and he will continue to do right. What's the scripture say? I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. There were those who had seen him and believed. But never forget, there are those who saw him. Who saw him, who heard him, and not believed. Now people ask, what's the difference between the two? Well, that's the way of man. Always asking what when the question's who. We can't even get the question right. How depraved are we? We can't even get the question right, much less the answer. These men who believed not, okay, they had heard the gospel by the one anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to preach the gospel to the poor. And they believed not. And he follows it up with this statement. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. Amen. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now this statement, all the Father giveth me, the word giveth, that is actually present tense. It's not past tense. Then it moves to the future tense, shall come to me. There's a thing about timing here. Now, I know what people say about this scripture. And I'll just mention it here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. They say God saw who would choose Jesus, and he gave them to the Son. Okay, that's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. Or if you prefer, it's hermeneutical eisegesis. I still like that term. I do. I can't help it. I'm that way. Because you can say, oh, that's hermeneutical eisegesis. People have no idea what you're saying. That's right. But I'll tell you this. You say sovereign grace, they got no idea what you're saying either. That's exactly it. They are trying to prove and to use this scripture to prove that salvation is dependent upon the actions of men, even though they'll deny that. They say, no, it's all grace. It was gracious for God to look forward and see what you would do. Now, Paul said, if it's works, it's works. If it's grace, it's grace. And I add the bit, ne'er the twain shall meet. Works happen because of salvation, not in order to be saved. And I'll tell you something, it's certainly not in this scripture here, or any other for that matter. Because this scripture doesn't tell us how we come to Christ. It tells us why. That's important. Why do you come to Christ? Why? And I can tell you this, in the light of John 15 and verse 16, that they did not come to Christ because they chose Christ. John 15, 16 is the words of Christ himself saying, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. If you get that wrong, you're going to get everything wrong. They didn't choose Jesus. Those were the disciples, the ones who did believe it. He chose them. However, this scripture certainly does show that the giving of the Father comes before the coming of those given. You got the present tense and you got the future tense. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Jesus Christ spoke this in the correct order. Now, I do want to make this clear, if I can. Jesus is not speaking of before the foundation of the world here. This is present tense. Now, that did happen. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That is just as true as this part is true. And that's just as true as you haven't chosen me, I have chosen you. But he is speaking here in the present tense of the work of the Father. Now, all those that were given to Christ, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, will come. They shall come. But here, they have to be given. That's the context. And that's the context here. Because the context here is about those who are given to Christ in the Father's good time, and those shall come to him. So shall come to me. That's in the future tense. Now, how many come? All the Father gives me. That's the deeper meaning there. They are given, and they shall come. Now, what kind of time frame we have between the given and the coming? I ain't got one. But I got a certainty. I got a certainty. Those that are given shall come. That's the same kind of word says, I must needs go through Samaria. They shall come if they're given by the Father. Every single one of them. Walter said it. Not one more and not one less. Because here we have a cause and an effect in this one verse. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Guess what? The cause is God, the Father. The effect is on you. You shall come. And we are to come to Christ. Why? Because the Father gave us to him. And don't leave this out by any means. They come to him. They come to me. All that the Father giveth shall come to me. Christ said that. They're coming to me. It's not that they come to church. Although they'll assemble together with the people of God. But it's not that they're coming to church. They don't come to doctrine. Ah, but they will learn my doctrine. They don't come to men. Although they will hear his ministers and his preachers and his gospel from men and women. They come to hear him preached and promised and proclaimed. And if he's not preached, they're disappointed. And if you go too many times without hearing him preached, you might end up going somewhere else. Hey, that's happened to some of us. You know? Been there, done that. I burned the t-shirt, but it's okay. I'm not going back by God's grace to where this man that I want to come to is preached. That's where I want to be. Because those given by the Father come to a person.
Yes.
And guess what? That person that they come to is their Lord,
yeah,
God. They submit to Him. Because they submit to Him, they will assemble together. They will learn the doctrine. They will fellowship with their brothers and sisters. Because of Him. They come to me. They come to me. And no one else. And him that cometh to me, what? I will in no wise cast out. You know, the gospel does not send forth an uncertain sound. The gospel is not uncertain. We are uncertain, fine. But the gospel is not uncertain.
Yeah.
All those given to by the Father come to the Son.
Yeah.
They shall come. And him that cometh I will in no wise,
right,
cast out. What did he say? I will never leave thee, nor never forsake thee. And guess what he meant by that? Amen. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And he will in no wise cast you out. This is an individual thing. Each and every single one that the Father gives him comes to him. And each and every single one he will never cast out. I don't know that I can emphasize that hard enough. But this is the truth of Scripture. The truth of religion is something totally different. There are people losing and getting their salvation back and forth forever around here. That's not a salvation worth having.
No, that's right. Amen.
Exactly.
If it's dependent upon me, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no sense in me being here because I'll mess it up before I get out from behind this desk.
Sure.
I will in no wise cast him out. Now we have a statement of purpose. Four. And a reason. Conclusion. Four. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Most preachers will breeze right past this statement. Isn't that nice? He's such a good son. They're missing the point.
Amen.
This is a fundamental statement about Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, about his purpose in this world. He gives, in this one little verse, all the glory to the Father, while he himself is God manifest in the flesh.
Right.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Worship the Father.
Amen.
Now, does that mean that the Son's will is different than the Father's? No. I'll use John's word, Christ's word here, in no wise. God forbid. Whatever you want to say. This shows I and my Father are one. I came not to do mine own will, I come to do the will of my Father. You got a problem with what Jesus said or Jesus did, you take it up with the Father. Good luck with it too. I don't think it's going to work. Because the Lord from heaven and the Lord of heaven are one. Guaranteed. Their will is exactly the same. If thou wilt, we do hear a little bit about the will of Christ when a fellow asked him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Christ did respond positively, I will, be thou clean. See, so that's separate from, no, it's not separate from anybody. All that shows is it was also the Father's will to heal that leper. That's what it shows. I and my Father are one. And Jesus gave glory to the Father. And he came to do the will of the Father. Then the next verse says this, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Now this is in the past tense. Hath given me. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Because this the statement starts out in the present tense. This is the Father's will. That's present tense. And I'll give you this for free. Whatever is the will of the Father is still the will of the Father, and it always will be the will of the Father because it always was the will of the Father. God does not change. His will has never changed. Our circumstances change. There was a change when our Lord came to this earth. There was a change after he ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit was here, but then the Holy Spirit was given to indwell in believers. That's a change. But guess what? That wasn't a change in the will of God. Not a bit. The Father's will before the foundation of the world is the Father's will with his Son right here.
Amen.
It has not changed. And it says, which hath sent me. That's also past tense now. Because this being sent, this incarnation in the world, this condescension only happened once. Now, Christ had walked on this earth before. They call them Christophanies or Theophanies, appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. Melchizedek is said to be one, and I believe he was.
Yeah.
Without beginning, without end, without father, without mother.
Yeah.
But this incarnation in the flesh only happened once,
right.
And it happened because the Father sent him.
Amen.
I came to do my Father's will. Not mine own will, my Father's will. This sent only happened once. Now he's coming again, but that's not going to be another incarnation. That's going to be the same Jesus that you've seen go up is coming back. And he's coming back for his saints, and he's coming back with his saints. And y'all can fight about that if you want. I don't think so, but. Because he is coming again, but he's not coming again the way he came the first time. But this statement then, where it says, all the Father hath given me, all which he hath given me, that is actually not in the past tense. It's even better than that. I know this is getting, you know, maybe a little tedious on the verb things, but I can't help it here. This is in the perfect tense, and it's active. Okay, and I wrote this down, I copied it down because I couldn't trust my definition of it. The perfect tense, okay, describes an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past. It's like the past there, but there's more to it than that. In the perfect tense, it says it was done in the past once and for all.
Yeah.
And not needing to be repeated. So whatever this given is here, it's a one-time thing. And that's right in accord with what Christ said about it. It's perfectly in accord with what Christ said about it. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and all that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. There's only a need to be this given one time, and that's it. So that saved and lost stuff is just kind of right out the window. It's nonsense.
Yes.
It's man's imaginings, his imagination. It's an image and not the image of the uncorruptible God.
Amen, that's right.
The giving is active, but it is done once. And here he's talking about in the past. Because it says, all which he hath given me, which the Father hath given me, what? I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. Now, I lose stuff all the time. He never loses anything.
Amen. Right.
And more importantly, in this context, he never loses anyone.
Right.
I will in no wise cast you out. What about what I do? What about it? I will in no wise cast you out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's as flat as I can be with it. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what he did.
Right.
It matters what the Father did, and it's mattering what the Son is doing.
Right.
You're giving people license to sin. No, I'm not. They're sinning anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I remember what Henry said. He said, well, if I believe that, I'd sin all I want to. Somebody told him that. Henry said, I sin more than I want to now.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the God's honest truth.
Yes.
I wish I could sin less.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes find myself thinking I do. That's a sin too, you know that. I do understand the saying, I am my own worst enemy, and B, I can't win for losing. But it's not up to me. It's not up to me. Then he repeats, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, but he doesn't stop there, and believeth on him. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Guess what? These are different people. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of the Father that the Son is performing. And I tell you what, he's doing it today.
Yeah.
It has not changed. It has not modified. No, our glorious knowledge of man has not changed the will of God ever. And it never will. Everyone that sees the Son and believes on him will have what? Perpetual life.
Yeah.
I like that word.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you something. People around here don't know what everlasting life is. They don't know what eternal life means. Because like I said, they think you can get it and lose it. That's not eternal.
No.
This is perpetual life. It'll go on even when you don't.
Right. Yeah.
Why? Because it's not your life, it's his.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Our life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah.
I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me.
Amen.
And that life is perpetual.
Yeah.
It never ends. And I will raise him up at the last day. Why? Because that's the will of the Father too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need another reason than that? The will of the Father? Too bad. There ain't one.
That's right.
Because there really isn't another reason. Everything Christ did, everything Christ is doing, and everything Christ will do to those who are given to the Son by the Father is according to the will of the Father. And this is what the Son lives to perform. I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. What? From the beginning to the end. Sort of like that thing, Alpha and Omega. Well, wait a minute, that's him too. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. Those given shall come, and those that come will never be cast out, because they have perpetual life. And Jesus Christ will raise them up on the last day. Because of and by the will of the Father. Now you remember my introduction? God's not fair. This is how we come to the Son. He told us the why, then he told us the how. The Father gives us to the Son. Who is the difference between those who have seen him and believe not, and those who have seen him and believe? Well, I didn't read it, but I wasn't going to go away without reading it. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And what? I will raise him up at the last day. You understand, this giving of the Father is talking about the giving of life and faith to the dead alien sinner. And everyone he does that to, everyone who is born from above, everyone that is born of God, all that are given to me by my Father shall come to me. And no man comes except the Father which has sent me draw him. That one, Paul read the other part this morning before that. Therefore I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Those two verses hit me awful hard when I was first converted. The first one stopped me. And then I submitted to it. Well, I submitted to him. That I had nowhere else to go. And then I read the second one. And then when Peter said, "Whose tomb shall we go?" It was like, wow, I've just been there. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And it's a hard thing for people who don't believe to understand. It doesn't matter what Christ said. I'm coming to him.
Yeah.
And if that's not your attitude, you're not coming to him.
Yeah.
Not saying you won't rebel. Not saying you won't kick against the pricks. Paul did that.
Yeah.
Not saying you won't, I don't get this, I don't believe that. That's right, you don't. But you will come to learn his doctrine. And you will come to love his doctrine. You will come to hear his gospel preached. Why? It's the work of God in you. He's going to draw you. And that word does mean drag. You can look it up. That's what it means. Like drawing a bucket of water out of a well. Guess what? The bucket ain't helping, and neither is the rope, and neither is the water. Somebody's dragging all of it out. And it ain't you. It's you being drug out. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. See, how do we come to the Son after being given by the Father? We are drawn by the Father. To the Son. To him. To a person. And yes, it means to be dragged, to be drawn. What? Against my will? Oh, yes. Yes. But don't worry. Your will will change.
Your will
will change.
There you go.
Come on now, folks. My will's changed even as a person. You know, I hated to go to church when I was a little fella. And when I got to be a bigger fella, guess what? I hated it even more. And now I love to come here.
Sure.
I am willing to come here. I'm willing to drive 30 miles to come here. Your will changed. The man who raised you from the dead can fix anything.
Right. Yeah.
I guarantee it. And you don't have to worry about me guaranteeing it. The Bible guarantees it.
Right. Yeah.
With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Your will is just as corrupt as your heart and your head and your toes and your hair. Because your will is just as dead in trespasses and sin as you are.
Yeah.
No man can come. That's ability.
Right.
Yeah. That's ability. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about will it. You can't.
Right.
I'll tell you this. You won't anyway.
Right.
Because your will is just as corrupt as your can't. No man can come. This is what Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, said. I wonder what he meant. He meant no man can come unless the Father draws him. Now you got to deal with it and you got to get over it.
Yeah.
Or not. You know? And if it's or not, I got nothing for you. Because everything I talk about, it comes down to this. We either believe sovereign grace, the sovereign Lord of sovereign grace, or we don't.
Amen. That's right.
That's all there is to it.
Right.
Except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. Except a good word here. That's like but God in some places. It is. Because except the Father draws him, what is this? This is part of being given to the Son.
Right.
In this context, in this scripture, right here, that's what this is talking about. It's talking about actually being given to the Son in time.
Right.
The Father draws you. And it's in God's time, and guess what? It's in God's will.
Yeah.
It's in the Father's will, which the Son came to perform. And I will raise him up at the last day. You understand? God doesn't start something without finishing it.
Right.
And you can take that however you want. But this is true of salvation. And that's what he's talking about here.
Exactly.
He started it. He's doing it. And he's going to finish it.
Amen.
And he's going to raise everyone that the Father gave him at the last day.
Right.
Guess what? That's the day that counts.
Yes.
You understand? I don't have any hopes of being like Enoch. I'd like to. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him.
Yeah.
That'd be the way to go out. But it ain't up to me. But I got this promise. Enoch has this promise. Because he's going to get his body. I will raise them up at the last day. The salvation of God is the salvation from God, and it is the salvation performed by God.
Amen.
To all those that the Father has given to the Son. Now, what do you say about that?
Amen.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. You better say amen. And I do, by his grace, believe him. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done to us, for us, in us, and are continuing to do in this perpetual life that you have given to your children. Thank you most of all for your Son who came to do your will. Be with Walter as he stands to preach. Be with all of us as we go forth to walk. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.